It's time for The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. This week I'm taking a little break from the show, and I have something very special to share with you. I was fortunate to talk with an experienced professional in our local maritime industry in Astoria. Her name is Samantha Stearman, and she's a dispatcher for the Columbia River Bar Pilots. Yesterday, we talked a bit about her experience in the maritime industry that led her to this job with the Columbia River Bar Pilots. Today, we're going to talk a bit about what a typical day is like for her on the job. Here's another clip from that interview. Well, it sounds like with that background, you really, it sounds like a really good fit, what you're doing here.
Yes, it's, I think, probably why or how I got the job here. Merchants Exchange works extremely closely with the river pilot dispatchers, as does this position here. And doing so allowed me to become familiar with not only the dispatchers, but a lot of the river pilots as well. It also didn't hurt to have that emergency response in the background, as well as those call jobs, which I mentioned, which does involve technically dispatching river pilots.
When were you hired in this job? How long have you been in this role?
Almost, actually, we're just about at the two-year mark, July 2020.
Can you sort of describe a typical day at work? Because this is, I guess I love to ask this question because most people will never do what you do or even be in this building. Yeah. It's part of the unseen maritime world that goes on all the time and no one knows it exists. So,
right.
So yeah. What's a day like for you?
Days during summer can certainly vary from days during winter, but there are always common aspects of the day. The first part of the day always starts out with talking with my counterpart at the River Pilots to get news on what vessels are headed outbound, coming this way and sailing. I get that information from them. So they'll let us know who's coming this way and when and from where. Any vessels over a 40-foot draft need special clearance because our max draft here is 43 feet. Any fully loaded Panamax grain ship will be at 43 feet. So they can't just come whenever they want. We need to give them windows based on what the tide is doing and what the river levels are doing to allow them to come safely. So we'll look at anything over 40 feet. We use some data called the load max that comes from Port of Portland. And it reports on the latest river levels. So we can give them an accurate time to be here and they can make adjustments if needed. I also look at anything inbound for the next day and make any adjustments to arrivals today based on information I get from vessels via email. I also look at the what's in the anchorage. We do monitor any vessels coming in and leaving Astoria Anchorage. We work with the river pilots very closely because I will technically dispatch river pilots for jobs leaving the anchorage, headed upriver, mostly to grain berths, sometimes potash and bulk, Portland bulk out there. I look at what our ship traffic is for the day. Do we have enough pilots? Which pilots can cover which vessels? There's very strict fatigue rules in play. And so there's a limited amount of time we have to work with each person, so I can kind of gauge and see with the operations pilot on duty, okay, are we looking okay for the day? Do we need to call around for extra bodies? How are we doing there? Communicate with the Coast Guard to see if there's any restrictions on vessels, not allowed to come in, daylight, tugs, anything like that. And it's really kind of like playing a chess game. You got to look two steps ahead. It's not just what's happening right now. You got to see, okay, how is this going to affect this? And it can be, if it's busy, very complex at times. We can have, you know, two inbound vessels and two outbound vessels all here at the same time. There's one pilot launch boat out here that serves Astoria, and we have got to coordinate everybody to be in the right place at the right time so we don't have to delay anything.
Wow. So that is certainly something that most people don't know goes on.
Yes, right.
I mean, I think the sort of the wonderful thing about all this is that you all what you are all doing is so complex and requires so many skills, and you make it look so easy that people don't even realize it's happening. Well, I mean, they do see the big ships go by, but you never see any people on the ships. They look like they're just swimming in,
right?
Like these big creatures or something. But behind every ship is like a team. I mean, you and other people on land and on the vessel, and it's just I'm always in awe of it when I see it. You know?
There's a lot of behind the scenes work.
Yes, for sure. So I'd like to elaborate a little on something Samantha said there about the tremendous coordination that goes on to bring ships in and out of the river. Some of the issues that she works with the pilots on include when ships can leave and arrive, the sequence of vessels on the river so that if they have to pass one another in opposite directions, they're in safe areas. That's partly because the river is kind of curvy with lots of course changes between Astoria and Portland. They also have to make sure that ships are spaced safely apart in case one has mechanical trouble and has to take emergency action. You heard what Samantha said about ships over 40 feet in draft, that's how far they extend below the waterline, must have special clearance to transit. That's because their loaded depth is pretty close to the max depth of the river at low tide. With inbound ships that draw or need a lot of water, they can sometimes, the expression is surf the rising tide to Portland. As the tide rises, they go with it, and it takes them all the way up to Portland. But outbound loaded ships will have to pass through one low tide cycle on their way out. So all of this requires a lot of coordination with tides and ship depth to make sure that there is enough room under each ship to allow them to transit without running aground. The more I learn about how things work on the river with our ships here, the more I discover how complex it is. It's an amazing quality of the master mariners and other skilled professionals like Samantha working in and around the ships we see on the river. How much of how to do this is kind of incorporated into their DNA in a way after years of figuring things out, learning things, and the education that they have and experience. They just know how to do it. But a lot of careful planning happens for any ship here on the river. So despite the fact that on most ships we see no people are visible on deck, they are there. A team of people on land and on the vessel are working together, paying close attention to what's going on, and anticipating what's next. Because in an enclosed area like a river, with a narrow ship channel, it takes a lot of expertise to move a vessel that is as long as a very tall building from one place to another, without hitting anything, without hitting bottom, and make it look easy. It seems elegant to me, kind of like ballet, lots of hard work and lots of grace. That happens every day here. You've been listening to my interview with Columbia River Bar Pilot Dispatcher, Samantha Stearman. I sat down with her earlier this month for an interview at the pilot's waterfront office in Astoria. We'll hear more from her tomorrow. You've been listening to The Ship Report, a show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. This week, I'm taking a little time off from the show, and so we're breaking format a little. I'll be sharing excerpts from my interview with Samantha Stearman, dispatcher for the Columbia River Bar Pilots. She's the first woman to hold that position. The Ship Report will return to its regular format on Monday with ship schedules and maritime weather forecasts. Thanks for listening. A podcast of this show is available on my website at shipreport.net.